about things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Marin.
Yeah, that's what they think their job is, big media. They do want to control what we think. So they tell us over and over and over again the propaganda that advances their agenda and keeps their ratings high and keeps their real cushy incomes coming in. So, I'm Michelle Marin, and we're talking about this Florida massacre at Douglas High School. And we, first segment, we went through some of the, the eruptions. Of course, it's always about gun control. Stricter laws, GOP is now on the bandwagon. What a mess. And nobody's really focusing on what really was the impetus behind this. It's always a mentally disturbed person who shouldn't have had a gun. Okay? That's always the case. And we're going to go a little further than that. First off, some statistics. I got this from Daily Wire. The Crime Prevention Research Center states that gun-free zones, which guns are not allowed, have been the target of more than 98% of all mass shootings. All right? Just keep that in mind. Do you know who introduced the gun-free zones idea, the law, the act, the gun-free zones, gun-free school zones act?
I do not know.
Oh, Joe Biden.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. In 1990, that's his bill, and it was signed into law by George H.W. Bush.
It always upsets me when I hear a name that he's still in politics and he was there like 50, 100 years ago. Why? Yep. Term limits. Get rid of this.
I know. Good job, Biden. Did it work? Are the schools safer, Joe?
Well, that wasn't his goal. He's like, well, we need gun-free zones so we can get rid of guns.
Thank you. Oh, Jason.
It's not worked yet. He's still working on that.
He's still working on
that. We still have guns
that.
Around here.
That's right. Some other statistics. According to the FBI, knives kill more people than rifles in America. Knives! But do you ever hear about the knives, the knivings?
I'll do you one better. Do you know how many people died from drunk driving accidents who were under 21 in 2016?
How many?
1,031 people.
Oh, so we need to make...
Do you know how many people died that same year from school shootings?
How many?
7.
Oh my goodness.
Where's everyone for drunk driving? That was just for people under the age of 21.
Isn't that crazy?
Yes.
See, we're not even working with real...
We need to take the cars away from all these people.
I know. They can't drive till they're 21.
Yep.
Yeah. A gun or a car is a weapon.
Yes. As
Absolutely.
We've seen with terrorist attacks.
I know. Anyway, Jason and I are highlighting this because it's insane. And don't get pulled into the, we need to take stricter gun control measures. It doesn't stinking work. All it does is make you and me more vulnerable and gets us one step closer to confiscation, which good luck trying to carry that one out here in America.
Well, just replace gun with car and see if it makes sense that way. We're going to restrict all cars the same way we're going to do guns?
Golly.
I understand that guns are more deadly, but come on. I mean, theoretically more deadly.
I don't know. Cars are a pretty big bullet.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to reload a car.
Yeah, I know. All right. We've got Tim from Florida joining us. Tim has been a guest on the show a lot, and he helped us with the hurricane back in September. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm frustrated with big media, but I'm glad you're here to help me out.
You and me both. You and me both, to say the least. It's a mess.
It is a mess. So I have this article. It's written by Constitution.com. It doesn't have the writer's name. If you want to go look it up yourself, you can. But I'm going to give credit where credit's due. Somebody called The Last Refuge has been investigating Broward County for quite a while, Broward County, Florida. And you're pretty close to there, aren't you, Tim?
I am.
Okay. So I want to get your take on this as I start to tell this story. And you can stop me. You can affirm. You can deny. You can say, "Oh no, that's not true." Tell me what you know, and help us get this the facts out here. Okay. The Last Refuge writes this. There's this, I found what's called on Scribd, a collaborative agreement on school discipline. It was an agreement made and entered into on November 5th, 2013, between the School Board of Broward County, Florida, Chief Judge of the 17th Judicial Court, Office of the State Attorney, Law Office of the Public Defender, Sheriff of Broward County, Fort Lauderdale Police Department, Florida Department of Juvenile Justice, Fort Lauderdale branch of the NAACP, and the Juvenile Justice Advisory Board. This is, and it's a, I think it's about 18 pages I've got here. And the Last Refuge is the outfit, the blog, the site that has brought this to light. And the Last Refuge writes this. In 2012 and 2013, while doing research into the Trayvon Martin shooting, we discovered an alarming set of school policies being enacted in Miami-Dade and Broward County, Florida, so two counties. The policies were called diversionary programs and were essentially about stopping high school students from being arrested. Law enforcement was instructed to avoid arrests and defer criminal conduct to school administrators. Students who engaged in violence, drug sales, robberies, burglaries, theft, and other various crimes were intentionally kept out of the criminal justice system. County administrators and school superintendents told local and law and county law enforcement officers to stop arresting students. Broward is the nation's seventh largest district, had the highest number of school-related arrests in Florida in the 2011-2012 school year, according to state data. 71% of the 1,062 arrests were made for misdemeanor offenses. Unfortunately, the school board mandated policies came into conflict with law and order. The problem of the conflicted policy versus legality worsened over time as the police excused much more than misdemeanor crimes. Over time, this culminated in police officers falsifying documents, hiding criminal activity, lying on official police reports, and even hiding stolen merchandise that police retrieved from high school students. That's the statement from The Last Refuge on Scribd. You can find that for yourself. And this collaborative agreement on school discipline, I'm just going to read a few of the first paragraphs. Whereas the parties, now remember the parties are the school board all the way through the local law enforcement throughout Florida in this particular one. The parties acknowledge that law enforcement plays an essential role in maintaining safety in the community. However, the use of arrests and referrals to criminal justice system may decrease a student's chance of graduation, entering higher education, joining the military, and getting a job. All right, red flag number one, first off here, is this agreement wants to make sure that criminal juveniles still graduate, get a higher education, join the military, and can get a job. There's a problem with this right off the bat. Second paragraph. Whereas in the 2011-2012 school year, the Department of Juvenile Justice, DJJ, reported 1,062 school-related arrests in Broward County, the highest number in the state. 71% of these arrests were for misdemeanor offenses. Over half of those students had never been referred to the juvenile justice system before. And it goes on, across the country, students of color, students with disabilities, LGBTQ students are disproportionately impacted by school-based arrests for the same behavior as their peers. Oh, so now we're going to get politically correct about crimes. And the Florida legislature encourages schools to use alternatives to expulsion or referral to law enforcement agencies by addressing disruptive behavior through restitution, civil citation, teen court, oh my, neighborhood restorative justice or similar programs, and has instructed school districts that zero tolerance policies are not intended to be rigorously applied to petty acts of misconduct and misdemeanors, including but not limited to minor fights or disturbances. Okay. This is an 18-page collaborative agreement basically saying that we're not going to expose everything going on. I've got the article from the Constitution here, and they kind of sum it up. This is about school districts lying to families in an effort to get more money and more political influence. It's about local police forces being willing to ignore crime and refusing to abide by the laws they promised they would uphold, and about government failures at every level and how that corruption and failure led to the death of 17 innocent people. The reason he's saying this is because Broward County copycatted Miami-Dade. Now, Tim, tell me if you know anything about this. Am I telling you something new, or is this something that...
You told me something new when I saw this article the other day, and
okay.
It was an eye-opener, for
okay.
sure.
Well, apparently in 2012, Miami-Dade, they were the county that brainchild where this idea birthed. And they basically, there's a media advisory here that they sent out. It's no secret. It's not like they're trying to hide it. Miami-Dade schools were commended by the Juvenile Justice Department for dramatically decreasing school-related delinquency in Miami-Dade County public schools. This was a big deal. So Miami-Dade was all happy because they had implemented this program where they ignored crimes committed by students so they could look, their statistics were lower. And then guess what? They get new money when their statistics go down. That's the
exactly.
And it says here at first the police were only excusing misdemeanors, but then they started excusing felonies, including violent crimes like assault, armed robberies, and worse. And it goes the Last Refuge and the Constitution blog site continue to go on and say, in the years following, youth crime in Miami-Dade and Broward steadily grew worse. An odd quota system developed, and once a certain number of high school students had been arrested in the county, leadership made sure that other crimes committed would be excused. If that's not bad enough, South Florida's gangs caught on to the scheme and began using high school students to commit more of their crimes. They began planning their biggest, most important activities later in the month, later in the quarter, and at times when schools were collecting their data for reporting. That way, gangs could take advantage of committing their crimes when they knew police would give them a pass. So, how does this relate to Cruz? Well, how many times, was he visited 39 times by police or somebody?
Yep, 39 by the media and 26 according to the sheriff of Broward.
Okay. So, Tim, your thoughts.
Yes.
You live there. You're very close to this. Does this... Give me your take on this.
It's a scary article. And when you read into it, especially in the fact that the gangs figured it out and got into it, too, is intensely frightening. What I would want to see is even more research into this document, this article, and finding where they're actually coming up with some of their data. Because, you know, aside from that court document that they bring up, that could be twisted. You know how media is. They can twist it and say, well, we're trying to give these kids a second or third or 10th or 20th chance to be good Americans. But look what's happened instead. What do you do?
Well, it smells pretty bad, and I'm not there to know. But this looks pretty legit to me. And you know, I don't know. I don't have the full report on all the visits they made to Cruz, but it's, you know, it kind of opens up a discussion. I've heard some people, this is such a mess. We've got a corrupted FBI, at least we know at the upper echelon, right?
Right.
And we've also, now we're hearing that, well, FBI was notified about this kid and they should have done something. And we're hearing that the sheriff department was notified. You know, I'm just kind of catching bits and pieces of this. And
right.
I get concerned when we have that discussion, because then you start cultivating an atmosphere of thought police state, you know, more of a police state where anyone, you know, can turn you in for saying something. And that's kind of where I want to be careful about saying, well, the law enforcement didn't do its job. However, this article actually seems to lend credence to the fact that they actually didn't do their job.
That's right.
It creates a...
Not even that they weren't doing their job. They were told not to.
They were told not
precisely.
To.
Yeah.
Precisely. And that's one of the interesting points with the deputies that were there from Broward County, is they were on their radio talking to somebody. Now, was this to other cops who were on the way to support them, or was this to a higher-up authority?
Yeah. Do we know that yet, Tim? Have you seen anything?
No, I haven't seen anything like that yet, and it's still too early for that type of preliminary report. Unfortunately, since the people who do the investigations are the people who are suspect, we might not ever hear some of that.
Yeah. All right, that music means we need to take a break. We'll come right back, and Tim, you had some information you wanted to share about those deputies that were standing out there, and we're going to come back to that as soon as we come back on The Michelle Marin Show.
That's good.